This morning we're going to talk about looking down the road. And the purpose of looking down the road is to begin to see what God has planned and to find a way for us to move down the road with courage and strength and determination. The two stories that talk about this are the Old Testament story and the one that Herb read for you. The Old Testament story from Genesis, the 15th chapter, is about Abram. And Abram is given a vision by God, and God says, you are going to be the father of a great nation. He says, go outside and look up into the night sky and count the stars. And your nation and the fatherhood of your life is going to be greater than all the number of stars that you can see in the sky. And Abram goes, well, I don't have any kids. How am I going to be the father of this great nation? If I were to die now, that the people in my household would have all my possessions and I have no siblings or no kids in which to pass on my inheritance. And God says, don't worry about that. You're going to have a son. And then in the sixth verse, there's these great words. And it says, and Abram believed the Lord. Incredible words, powerful words, and Abram believed the Lord. Now, it's a powerful set of words because it wasn't like Abram went and Sarah and him had a romantic night, and the next day she woke up pregnant. Right? There was a whole span of time before Isaac came along, but Abraham nevertheless believed what God told him and promised. And what a different church it would be if we believed those words, if we believe what God promised us and we live them out in a practical way in our own lives. If you and I only believed what God has promised, it would change the way we operate and the way we live as God's people. And so this morning I want to help you begin to understand how we can do that in a greater way. Now, in Philippians, the first chapter, Paul is writing a letter. He's in prison because of his faith. He says, I'm in chains. He says, but this is good because I'm talking to the jailers about my faith, and they're believing, and people are proclaiming the gospel. And Paul's responsibility was to be the one who impacted the Gentile population. Those are the people that were not Jewish, with the good news of Christ. And Paul's life was committed to making sure that that vision that God had given him to touch the lives of the Gentile population came true. And Paul would not have even believed what God was going to do way after he died. Because when Paul wrote those letters, he had no way of understanding and knowing that those letters that he wrote were going to be kept, and they would be inspiring people for centuries after his death and continue to inspire the church today. And so what I want to talk about today is how we can look down the road with courage and strength, because most people don't like to look down the road, and it depends on where you are in the journey of life. Some people say, I kind of just want to look at today because I don't like what I see when I look down the road. When we look down the road, we can't see what's coming. Can't see all the curves. Oh, in this road, we can see a little bit of the curve there, but we can't see what's beyond that curve. And so most people don't want to look down the road. They just want to stay focused on where they are today. And we are fearful of looking down the road because the future is a mystery. It's something that is unknown to us. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We don't know what's going to happen a year from now or 2 weeks from now. And it is something that we feel very uncertain. So people seldom want to look down the road. They just want to focus on today. And focusing on today is positive. Nothing wrong with that. But we always want to focus on today with the awareness of what's coming down the road. And to do this in the church, it means looking at vision. A church and particularly the church today, requires having a strong vision, because the vision is what propels us. The vision is what gets us off our duffs and gets us moving in a direction that we believe God is calling us toward. See, a vision is always taking you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Visions never are there to sit around and look and go, boy, this is wonderful. It's always moving us in a direction that we believe God wants us to be going. And so I want to talk about visions this morning. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th verse, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision in your life, when you stop having a vision for life, you will perish. This has nothing to do with age. This has nothing to do with circumstances. It's a great story of a lady who was 98, and she died in her sleep one night. And her family came in, and beside on her bedstand were the five things I want to accomplish in the next 10 years. That's a girl who had vision. And the church in today is in need of people who have vision. And not only have the vision, but believe in the vision. And that's what I really want to focus on and talk about today. Vision is really great because it takes something that's fuzzy, that we can't clearly see or make out, and gives us a way to clarify that and see something that is way beyond our ability to perceive. And that's what a vision does. It takes us from where we are and helps us to see into the future. And I love this slide. It says, a vision enables us to see further than we can imagine. And that's what the church needs today. We need people who can see beyond where we are. We need people who can see things down the road that is beyond your imagination. Instead of going, oh man, look at how terrible things are today. And so I want to talk a little bit about the purpose of vision. Vision has lots of different things to do, but one is to focus, keep us focused, drawing all the energy and the strength and the courage to keep focused on what God is calling us to do. This is not a vision of what we think we should do. This is a vision about what God is calling us toward, because God is always calling the church forward. And the reason is because the fulfillment of who God is in the future. And that's what we call the second coming of Christ. And so the vision is always calling us forward. And it helps to keep us focused. It helps us to have direction in times of uncertainty. It's to keep us on course when things around us seem to be falling apart. And the difficulty in the church is that often when things are not going well, we start looking around and we go, oh my goodness, this is not going well. And we get sidetracked. And we get focused on the challenges and the difficulties and the problems instead of keeping our focus on the vision that God is drawing us toward. And the third thing is it helps us to move together in unity. It helps us to go there and draw together and grow in unity and move forward as a group. Moses, when he got the people out of Egypt, he didn't gather them outside of Egypt and said, okay, we're going to the promised land, we'll meet there. Find your own way there, and we'll gather there together. Moses said, we're going to the promised land, and this is the way we're going. And he led them right to the edge of the Jordan River until they crossed over into that promised land. And the vision of that journey was fulfilled. The vision of grace is to call us to draw together, to keep us focused, to encourage us and strengthen us to move to where God is calling us toward. Now, the problem with a vision, and there is a problem, and the problem with vision is it leaks. Vision leaks simply because life happens. We casted a vision 18 months ago. Many of you were there. You've got the documents. If you haven't thrown them out or shredded them, you have the documents. You were there. But few of you can remember what the vision was all about. And that's because life happens. Things change in our lives, and we get refocused on other things. And that's just normal. It's nothing that we need to panic about. And it's the responsibilities of the leaders, myself and the other leaders of Grace Church, to keep our congregation aware of the vision and moving towards that place that God is drawing us towards. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. All right, so we had a vision meeting 18 months ago. Put up your hand if you know what the vision is. If you could stand up and tell me what the vision is right today. All right, there, you can see how much we have leaked. We got a lot of holes, right? And of course, the vision is what? Ah, very good. Engaging the community. There's the symbol. It's there every Sunday when you walk into the church. So you got get some marks for that. That's a positive thing. You get an extra cookie, though, if you can tell me the mission, the ministry phrase for the vision. What's the ministry phrase for the vision? It was in your document. We just gained some more holes. Mission phrase is sharing Christ so all will know the forgiveness, love, and grace of God. That's our ministry phrase. That's what motivates us. That's what gets us up in the morning and say, this is what we're called to move towards, to share Christ so that all will know the forgiveness, love, and the grace of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The old logo is this one. The board just passed the other day. This one for the second year of our vision. It's a five-year vision, and the first part of the vision is about a year and a half. We're just coming up to the close of that. But then we're moving into the next part, the second part of the vision. And the diagram or the logo for the second part is that we're starting to move. Here in this part here, the ducks or the Holy Spirit's kind of just sitting around doing nothing. And here it's taking, whoops, go back, push too far. And here it's beginning to take flight. And so it's the Spirit beginning to move forward and do something. The vision of grace has three steps. Here again, it's in the document. And I don't expect you to remember them, but the first one is personal and spiritual preparation. The first part of the vision was to help us grow in our own personal faith, to know the biblical stories in a stronger way, to be able to communicate that story, to know your personal Christian story and be able to communicate that to other people. That's what the first part of the vision has been about. In the last year or so, we've been taking some of the biblical stories and applying them to our lives. We had studies where people came and read different parts of the Bible so that we would know the story. Last Lent, we had a prayer series in which we began to pray together as people. And so we're starting on this first step, and we're going to continue to work on this step as we move into the future. The second step is about preparing the congregation. Now, if I were to ask the congregations of Peterborough what they want most, what do you think they would say? What do we need more than anything else? What's that? Young people or more people, right? The church needs more people. We need more people to come to church, which is very interesting because what we're really saying is we want more people to come in and fill these pews, to have people with money and people who will be quiet and not make any suggestions, right? Because if we bring in a whole bunch of new people, they're going to have new ideas. They're going to want to do things differently than we're doing, and that's going to cause all kinds of interesting conversation and tension. So what the church is really saying, we want more people to come in here that can sit in this pew and, of course, sing the songs. We want them to sing, right? We don't want them to be totally silent. But we want them to just put money in the plate and be quiet and just do what we're planning to do. And see, that's not what happens when new people come. And that means it's our responsibility to prepare ourselves to bring new people in, to be comfortable that when someone sits here by themselves for the very first time, someone from over here comes over and says, is this your first time? I would love to sit beside you. and make them feel like they're part of the congregation. And so the whole purpose is preparing ourselves to be a more open, a more friendly, a more engaging body of faith, so that when others come, they feel part of the family and they feel part of our work and the ministry of Christ here at Grace. And one of the aspects of this second step was refurbishing or looking at the facilities. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. The last step, which is not going to happen for a year and a half from now, is about finding ways to engage the community, the way to be more inviting, to be the people that invite neighbors and friends and families and people you see on the street and have conversation with and invite them to deepen their spiritual life and come and be a part of our congregation. But the rest of the day, I want to talk about this second step, because the second step in that vision, if you go look at your document, it talks about beginning to refurbish the building. We have done very little in the congregation inside the church over the last 20 years. It's been 20 years since we put on the renovation project, and nothing has been done inside the buildings, and the church is starting to look tired. And so the board asked a group of people to come through the church and look around and see what we could do to improve and make the church more receptive and more welcoming to people who enter into our building. And so they did a little thing, and we've been working on this for the last couple of months, and they found 7 things that might be helpful to do in order to help our church prepare for welcoming new people. And the first one was repainting the interior. Now, if you look around, the paint is starting to get thin. We have the ribs of the studs showing through. We have dirt marks on the ceiling. We have an entranceway that has all kinds of marks on it. And so the first thing the committee thought, we should put a new fresh paint, a coat of paint, on our building so that it looks more conducive and welcoming to people who are coming in. The second thing they thought about was replacing the flooring. The carpet's been down for over 20 years, and we have stains in the carpet. It's starting to wear thin in the friendship area and the entrance. And so they decided what we want to do is we want to take the carpet out and put on linoleum flooring so that it'll wear better and it'll take coffee spills and things like that. And that's what we have, all the marks in the friendship areas, people that were drinking coffee and got bumped or spilt their cup or whatever, and it leaves stains on the carpet. And so the refurbishing committee thought, you know, it'd be good if we did some work on the flooring. Take all the pews out, and we're going to refloor the whole front part of a church, including up here and in the choir loft. And then they thought, well, while we're doing that, why don't we upgrade the church? And they talked about replacing the pews with chairs that will provide more flexibility in worship and be conducive to using the building, especially the sanctuary, for different activities during the week, where chairs can be moved around in different configurations, and we can do things that we can't possibly do with the pews that are fixed. Then they thought it would be good to have improvement in our sound system. People are always saying, I can't hear, it's not going well, I can't hear, there's dead spots. And so we had a technician come in, 2 technicians come in, and both give us ways that we can improve the sound quality in the sanctuary. And then they talked about replacing the sign outside. We have a sign out there. It's been there for 35 years. It's starting to wear. It's breaking down. We need to replace it. And the board thought it would be nice if we could put a digital sign out there that can be controlled from in the office, and we can communicate on an ongoing basis with the people that drive by within our community. And then they thought it would be good to replace the boilers. It's been 45 years since anything's been done in the furnace room. And they discovered and we found out that we can apply for some grants for greening projects within our congregation, and there's up to $30,000 worth of grants that we could apply for. And so they thought, well, this would be a good time to replace the boilers and make sure that we have a very reliable system that'll take us into the next couple decades. And then the last thing, they ran out of things after this. They thought it would be good to replace the windows at the side of the church. The seals are breaking. They're over 70 years old, these windows. And we'd replace them so that more ventilation would come in during the warmer months, like the summer, and we would have better insulation in the cooler winter months. And they brought to the board these seven ways that they think it would be really helpful to refurbish the church and to put the church in a very positive position for the next 15 to 20 years. And so the board has looked at this and has approved this concept, and now we're bringing it to the members of the congregation. And at the back of the church, there are these booklets called Grace United Church Refurbishing Project, January 2020. It's a month old already, so did you get that month old, February? I hate it when I have to tell you my jokes. And the booklet is there for you to take a look at and to find out what your thoughts and your comments are on this vision, or this part of the vision. It's not something the board dreamed up. It's something that you approved as a congregation a year and a half ago when we passed the vision. And the board is now just fulfilling the second step in the vision. The details are there. The costs are there. If you have email, one has been sent to you already. It went out this morning. If you don't have email, there are hard copies at the back. And we're asking the congregation to think about how we as a church can move forward in this vision in a healthy and positive way. Now, there's lots there. And already, I'm sure, some of you are saying, I don't like that already. I haven't even looked at the document, and I know what I don't like about this project already. You've told me enough. And my response to that is, this vision is not for you. Right? This is not a vision that's for you. This is a vision that we believe God is calling us toward for others that are coming down through the years. And so you can participate in this vision even if you're not going to be around to see any of it happen. But we're going to do the vision because we believe God is preparing us to move forward in a healthy and positive way, and because this vision is a possibility for our congregation at this time. And so we want you to be informed. We want you to ask questions. We want you to take a look at that and to see how you can be part of this. And if all of us as a congregation work together, this is an exciting time when we're going to fulfill this next step of the vision of Grace Church. And the whole goal of the vision is to continue to do what I talked to those people about in the vision meetings 18 months ago, because there's seven things that are going to drive future growth in the church. And that's what this whole vision is geared around, how we're going to grow as a congregation. And the first one is by personal invitation. The church is going to grow. It's not because we're going to advertise. It's not because we're going to put an ad in the paper. It's because you're going to talk to people and invite them individually to come. I mentioned that 2 weeks ago, that if everybody in this year just invited one person, in the year to come, we would double the size of the congregation. It's about refusing to settle for the mediocre. Everything we do the best to the best possibility. It's not to acquiesce, it's good enough. And that's been the mindset of the church. You know, it drives me crazy when people do this. I don't need this computer in my house anymore. I think it would be good for the church. I bought a new computer in my house. It's the update version. And this Commodore 64, I think, would be good for you guys at Grace. I just love it when people do this. I just go, oh, my word. And we want to sell not for the mediocre, but for the best, to the best quality that's realistic within the reality of our situation. We want to develop an open door online concept. That means working on the web. Most people today, their first visit to any church is on the internet. It's not walking through the door. And so we want to have a strong online presence. We're working on that consistently. And then we want to have a great experience when people come, which is called the great in-house experience. We want people, when they hear singing, to be wrapped up in the wonder of the singing together and to experience the closeness and the fellowship of the congregation and to have that genuine community that you can't get by yourself on the internet. You can get information on the internet, but it's hard to have community. And you may have a friend in Australia that you can talk to digitally, or you may even be able to Skype. But when you have surgery and you need somebody to come and be beside you, that person is not going to be there. And we want this kind of genuine community in this place. We want deep engagement in what the ministry of Christ is and have clarity of that. And we want to risk. We want to take chances. We want to do things we've never done before and have the ability to be experimenting and following in the footsteps of God. And so this morning, I want to finish off with this statement. Vision, and this is by Rosa Parks, and many of you might know who she was. Rosa Parks said, "Without a vision, the people perish," which is just straight from Proverbs, right? But then she goes on, "But without courage, dreams die." We're called by God to be courageous people. We're called to be people of faith. We're called to be people like Abram who said, "I believe the Lord," and to move forward into the future being optimistic, being confident, and knowing that we can do that because we never walk alone. And so today, we're looking down the road. I want to remind you of the vision. I want you to pick up a copy of that if you don't have an email. And there's a hard copies for you if you just want to take a look at it while you're out for lunch. And then I want you to take a look at it and be informed. And then there's going to be some times of conversation that we're going to have together. And hopefully move forward in the vision and to move in the direction that God is calling us. So that Grace Church, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, will still be the light of the community and the salt of the earth.